In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family as well as our Sower family. Sower family, in which we're giving a series of talks to the Sower ministry family during the course of these talks. So we'd like to start off our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is so very important. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we invoke Mary in the beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen, as we conclude the Rosary. Mary is also, she is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's lift our minds, our hearts, our gaze to Mary as we pray the prayer that she loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director has many different titles. First and foremost, our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, he's the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit, taken from the sequence prayer that we pray on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit also is our consoler. Consoler in the midst of the many tribulations of life. But he's also our counselor. He will give us light to know what the will of God is in our lives. And very important, we read in Romans chapter 8, we read, St. Paul says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the good news is this, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, which means daddy or father. Therefore, my friends, let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, to enlighten our intellect. And for the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit, the sweet guest of our souls. So together, my friends, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So welcome you all to our Sower family, our Perseverance family, and how true it is, the family that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. So, my friends, I promise to pray for all of you today in the greatest of all prayers. And this is what we're talking about in our conversations on the Sower Ministry, the Sower Radio. We're talking about the church year, the church calendar, the liturgy, and we're talking about, in a very special way, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'm going to be placing you all on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to pray for these specific intentions. Number one, I'd like to pray that all of us would make a concerted effort to be more and more open to the Holy Spirit and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer today. During the course of the day, we can say this prayer fervently, a fervent aspiration. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be I'd like to pray for your families. That your families, especially for family members who have basically walked away from God, they walked away from the church, they walked away from the light, which is Christ, walking now in darkness, that they would return to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the light of the world. That they will be able to live out the prodigal son. God is always beckoning us to return to him. My next intention And I hope that this intention is very important to all of you. It is to pray for the dying, but most specifically to pray for those who are not well disposed, the dying that perhaps are not in the state of grace, that through our prayers, that they would open up their hearts to God's infinite mercy. Amen. So what we're doing, my friends, is we're talking about how Christ comes to us in what is called his mystical body, the church. Remember the last words of Jesus were, he says, "And behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." And then Jesus ascends to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Almost seems to be ironic that he says he'll be with us until the end of the world. Then he ascends through the clouds to be with the Heavenly Father. Well, he is with us. But he's with us in a different way. He's with us in what is called the mystical body of Christ. We call that the church. We call that the church. Sometimes you hear from young people, even people that are not that young, "Well, I believe in God. I love God. I love the Bible. I really love the person of Jesus Christ." But then you hear these people say, "But I don't like the church. I don't like the church." Honestly, my friends, we really can't say that, because Jesus, before he left, he established the church as his mystical body, as the instrument or means by which he communicates his presence to us, and most specifically his grace, which is the life of God flowing through our souls. And then the church communicates its power through the sacraments, and the greatest of all the sacraments, the greatest of all the sacraments is what we're explaining in these talks, and it is the Eucharist present in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our holiness, as we read in the documents of the Second Vatican Council. So what we've done in our talks up to this point, first talk we gave a couple months ago, we spoke about what are the necessary conditions to be able to receive Jesus in Mass well. And just briefly, we mentioned that to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity worthily, then we have to carry out three conditions or three requirements. First is that we have to believe. We have to believe in the real presence. The Eucharist is not a symbol, it's reality. It is truly Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, in the sacrament of the Eucharist. We have to believe that every consecrated host is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The second condition that we mention is that we have to carry out what's called a Eucharistic fast. Eucharistic fast right now is only an hour So an hour before you receive the Eucharist, you have to be fasting from solid food or beverages. You can't drink water and you can't take medicine. Then the third condition is that we have to be in the state of grace. If we're aware of having committed a mortal sin, then before receiving the Eucharist, we have to have recourse to the sacrament of confession, also known as the sacrament of reconciliation. So our first lecture, we talked about that. Then we mentioned in another lecture, Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is the dogmatic constitution on the liturgy in the Mass, speaks about the various ways that God manifests himself to us in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to refresh your memory. And this you can find in Sacrosanctum Concilium number 7 and 8. God communicates himself to us, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. How true. In what ways? Well, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my midst, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. So Jesus is present in the community that comes together to pray. Next, he's present in the reading of the Word of God. The most succinct and clear definition of the Bible is the Word of God. And then most specifically, he's present in the reading of the Gospel. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when the priest proclaims the Gospel, he says, "The Lord be with you and with your spirit." A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, we say, "Glory to you, O Lord," and we mark our foreheads, and then our lips, and then our hearts, so that the Word of God would be in our minds, in our lips, and in our hearts. Also in the context of the Mass, Christ is present through the person of the priest. One of the definitions of the priest is that he's the Alter Christus, the classical definition of Saint Augustine. He's the Alter Christus. And then, when we go up to receive the Eucharist, there we have the real presence. You receive truly and substantially the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Christ. Also, as Saint Augustine says, St. Augustine says, he who sings well prays twice. And then, even after Mass has been concluded, Jesus is truly present in the tabernacle. Near the tabernacle, you'll see a red vigil lamp, indicating that Jesus is present. He's present there for specifically two reasons. One is that we can come to visit him. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, he said, "Come to me, all of you weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is inviting all of us to come to the church and to visit him. One of the first short poems I learned from my mother was the following. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit, so that when I die, the Lord will not say, "Who is it?" Now, I thought you'd like that. That short poem, Eucharistic poem. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit, so that when I die, the Lord will not say, "Who is it?" So we want to get in the habit of visiting our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Then what we've done in our conversations over the past few weeks, we've been going through what is called the liturgical cycle. A cycle is something that repeats itself. So the church cycle relives the life of Christ every year. And the church cycle starts every year with Advent. With Advent. So we've got 4 weeks in Advent, which culminates in Christmas, which is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Christmas season lasts about 3 weeks, in which we celebrate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, January 1st. We celebrate also the Epiphany, the coming of the kings who follow the star to worship Jesus in the arms of Mary. And then the Christmas season concludes on the feast day of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. Then we enter into the first ordinary time. The priest wears green. Ordinary time takes us up to Lent, which we're living out now. So I'd like to add something very special to our conversation on the Mass, on the liturgical year. And today I'd like to talk about what the documents of the church call, it's called the Santoral. Santoral, that's kind of a technical liturgical word that means the calendar of the saints. So I'd like to talk about that today. The calendar of the saints. So during the course of the church year, we honor Jesus Christ through his saints. We honor Jesus Christ through his saints. The Catechism of the Catholic Church highlights two important functions of the saints. And the first would be the saints. They're the friends of God. They're the friends of God. In heaven, in what is called the Church Triumphant. And they can help us through their power of intercession. They can intercede for us and obtain graces for us. For that reason, it's very important that we get to know the saints. We read the lives of the saints. We get to love the saints. We experience the presence of the saints. Indeed, my friends, we're really never alone. So that's the first highlight of one of the functions of the saints from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The second is that the saints are models for us to imitate. In that all of us are called to imitate the lives of the saints. And as the documents of Vatican II, Lumen Gentium chapter 5, has a chapter on what is called the universal call to holiness. The universal call to holiness means this, that all of us are called to become saints. Jesus said this very clearly in the gospel when he said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Now, in the course of the year, the liturgical year, there's different grades of importance when we celebrate the saints and feast days. You have optional memorial, obligatory memorial, then you have a feast, and then you have what is called a solemnity. So given that we're talking about the Santoro, which is the liturgical calendar of the saints, I think it's very opportune that I spend a little bit of time with you mentioning a saint that we celebrate usually in the very heart of Lent. I'd like to talk briefly about Saint Joseph. Normally, the church has two feast days of Saint Joseph every year. May 1st, which is also the month of Mary, is a day in which the church celebrates Saint Joseph the worker. We ask Saint Joseph to bless our work. In the words of the Psalms, give success to the work of our hands, give success to the work of our hands. And as Paul says, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. But usually in the very heart of Lent, we take off the purple liturgical garment, and we place on the white garment, and we celebrate, my friends, the solemnity of Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary. So let's talk briefly today about this great Saint Joseph. Of all the saints, Saint Joseph is the greatest. I'd like to give you a brief theology. On this topic, these are somewhat technical words, but these are words worth learning. And these words are latria, hyperdulia, protodulia, and then dulia. Latria refers to our relationship with God. And latria, it really means this: to adore and praise. We praise and we adore and we worship only God. God is the only one that we should be praising, adoring, and worshiping. Hyperdulia means the highest veneration we give to Mary, because she's the mother of God. Then we have protodulia, which is directed to Saint Joseph. And protodulia basically means this. Dulia means veneration. Proto means that Saint Joseph is the first in veneration of all the saints. Then dulia, we have veneration to the saints. Saint Joseph. Why is it that Saint Joseph has such a sublime importance within the church? In the Liturgy of the Hours, for the Solemnity of St. Joseph, the Church offers us a reading from the letter of the Hebrews, pointing out the faith of the Old Testament saints related to St. Joseph also as a man of great faith. And then there's the second reading, which is taken from Saint Bernardine of Siena, who is a Franciscan doctor of the church. This great saint expresses this theological truth, that when God gives an individual a specific mission, God will always confer upon that individual sufficient graces commensurate with the task or the mission or the office that he is going to carry out. For example, many of you are married with your family, with your children. If you're married in the church, you're given through the sacrament of holy matrimony the grace to be a faithful spouse and a good mother or father to your children. I don't have that grace because I don't have holy matrimony. But I have holy orders, which gives me the grace to preach the word of God to you, what I'm doing now, to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the most sublime gesture I do every day, and to reconcile you to God by administering the sacrament of penance or reconciliation. All right, in a parallel sense now, the great Saint Joseph, was given a double vocation. That double vocation would be, he was called to be the spouse of Mary and the adopted father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How sublime. Saint Joseph was truly the husband of Mary. And that's what we celebrate. Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary. And the church teaches that St. Joseph cherished Mary, loved Mary as his wife. St. Joseph was given enormous graces to carry out that vocation to the married life, to marry in the most sublime way possible. But then St. Joseph was also the earthly father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How sublime that is. One of the saints that promoted devotion to St. Joseph most was a saint that lived about 500 years ago. The name of the saint is St. Teresa of Avila, who was instrumental in the reformation of the Carmelite order back about 500 years ago. St. Teresa of Avila attributed her healing, she almost died, to the intercession of the great St. Joseph. And then when she established convents in Spain, in Madrid, in Barcelona, in Salamanca, in Valencia, in Toledo, these are some of the cities in Spain, she'd always establish her convents and give the title San Jose, which is English for St. Joseph. In her works, her life, St. Teresa of Avila has two chapters in honor of St. Joseph, in which she highlights that St. Joseph is the universal saint. He's the universal saint. We can turn to him with all of our intentions, all of our needs. We can turn to St. Joseph. And St. Teresa of Avila said that St. Joseph works very quickly, very efficaciously. Now, about St. Joseph, my friends, we're talking about the Santoro, which is the liturgical calendar of the saints. We're talking about the great St. Joseph, who we celebrate May 1st, St. Joseph the Worker, and March 19th, we celebrate St. Joseph the Husband of Mary. There are many titles that the Church gives to St. Joseph. About 2 years ago, Pope Francis actually proclaimed a year in honor of St. Joseph. Father Donald Calloway wrote a book of consecration of ourselves to St. Joseph. And one of the ways in which we can get to know St. Joseph better is by going through the Litany of St. Joseph. In the Litany of St. Joseph, we have a long list of these beautiful titles given to St. Joseph. Many of these titles are biblical, they're very mystical, and some of them are very poetical. I repeat that these invocations taken from the Litany to St. Joseph, many of them are biblical in origin. Many are very mystical. And many of them are very poetical. So I'd like to do, in honor of Saint Joseph, hoping and praying that all of you, as a result of our conversation today, hoping and praying that all of you would cultivate a greater knowledge, love, and trust in Saint Joseph. Saint Teresa of Avila says that she never remembered turning to Saint Joseph and being denied what she requested of Saint Joseph. So I'd like to start with a title of Saint Joseph that Teresa of Avila loved very much. And that's the following. She called Saint Joseph the master, or teacher of the interior life. What does that mean? The master or the teacher of the interior life refers to the prayer life and our intimate union with God. Now I'm going to say to you, is somewhat astounding, but it's a biblical truth. Good Saint Joseph, actually taught our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ how to pray. Boys thought that to be astounding. In this sense, how could it be that a human person could actually teach God to do something or teach God how to pray? So I'll explain. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is and will always be the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But in Jesus Christ, there are two natures. There is the divine nature, and then there's the human nature. The divine nature means that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. In its human nature, Jesus Christ is man. And as the Bible teaches us, that Jesus Christ was like us in all things except sin. He had to sleep. He got tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He had fear. He had sorrow. He had joy. All the gamut of human emotions our Lord experienced them. He is like us in everything except sin. He never sinned. So Jesus, in His divine nature, could never change because God is immutable. unable to change. But in his human nature, we read in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus, he grew in age, in grace, in knowledge before God and man. We read in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is found in the temple after 3 days of sorrowful search, Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and grace before God and man. So in his human nature, Jesus had to learn how to walk. He had learned how to talk. And even had to learn how to use human words to express himself in prayer. And that's where St. Joseph comes in. St. Joseph taught Jesus how to say Abba. What does Abba mean? That's a Aramaic word, the language that Jesus spoke. Abba means daddy. Spanish papi. In Italian, babbo. In French, mon cher père. He taught Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph taught Jesus to express himself in human words, saying, praying, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Jesus learned this from Joseph and Mary. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom should I fear? He learned this from Saint Joseph. So Saint Joseph was instrumental in teaching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ how to pray using human words. So that being the case, let us turn to Saint Joseph and beg Saint Joseph for very special grace. And that grace would be to help us to pray more and to pray better. And given that we're talking about the holy sacrifice of the Mass in our sower conversations, let's beg Saint Joseph to give us the grace to enter more fully into the most sublime prayer in the world, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This, my friends, is a prayer that's very pleasing to Saint Joseph and very pleasing to God. And that prayer is, Saint Joseph, teach me how to pray. Good Saint Joseph, teach me how to pray. Related to this topic of Saint Joseph, the master of the interior life, and the teacher of prayer, how he taught Jesus how to pray, and he can teach us how to pray also, is this. If you want to grow in your love and devotion to Mary, the Mother of God, grow in your knowledge, your love, and devotion to Saint Joseph. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, If you love Saint Joseph and you talk to him and you trust your cares to him, Saint Joseph will point to Mary. He's very humble. He'll point to Mary, his beloved wife, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, who's truly our mother also. So Saint Joseph will be like a liaison, a bridge to unite us to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then Joseph will also bring us into a deeper union with Jesus Christ. We should never forget that Saint Joseph spent his life with Mary and Jesus. Last time we see Saint Joseph is when Jesus is 12 years old. We don't know when Saint Joseph died. But the whole life of Saint Joseph was centered on two persons, on Mary and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Saint Joseph is pointing to Mary and then pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another one of the titles that is given to Saint Joseph among the many is Saint Joseph is the patron saint of a holy and happy death. He's a patron saint of a holy and happy death. My friends, Saint Catherine of Siena, one of the women doctors of the church, has made this comment. The two most important moments in our lives are now and at the hour of our death. Are now and at the hour of our death. We only have now. We leave the past in God's infinite mercy. We leave the present in God's loving divine providence. But we want to try to live the sacrament of the present moment. So, now and at the hour of our death. So the moment we die, my friends, relating this to great Saint Joseph, the moment that we die is the most important moment in our lives. The moment and the manner that we die, my friends, will determine our destiny, and I'd like to say our eternal destiny, where we will end up forever and ever and ever. Either we'll be with the Lord in heaven, or we could lose our soul and be condemned to hell. So good Saint Joseph, my friends, he is the patron saint of a holy and happy death. So not only do we pray to Saint Joseph as the master of the interior life as the teacher of prayer, that he taught Jesus to pray, and Saint Joseph can teach us to pray, but also Saint Joseph can help us to prepare for the most important moment of our life on earth. And that moment is a moment that God will call us from time to eternity. So my friends in the Sower Ministry, my friends in our Perseverance family, our message today has been the Santoral, the liturgical calendar of the saints in the course of the year, and most specifically talking about the saints, but especially the greatest of all saints, and that is the great Saint Joseph. I hope and I pray that all of you, all of us, will fall in love with Saint Joseph. And as a result, that we will fall in love with Jesus and Mary. So I'd like to end with one of my favorite prayers in honor of the Holy Family. And that prayer is, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, make my heart like unto yours. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I breathe forth my soul unto thee. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.